In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel lesson for this year appointed for reading on the festival of the resurrection of our Lord is kind of a disappointing text. I'm glad I didn't have to preach on it last Sunday. You know, for all those people who come for their single shot of religion for the year, not really adequate. I don't know what Matthew was thinking about, not about the people we preach to, I'm quite sure. I mean, I'm not going to be so foolish today to suggest that what I really like in the text was some solid, easy proofs for the resurrection after the sermon yesterday. But you know, some explanation of the clinical details would have really been helpful. Better yet, some expression of the cosmic significance. Luther did a good job in this hymn. Matthew, when all is said and done, just gives us instructions for a short trip. Jesus is just there, and he's about to disappear so that he can reappear in Galilee. I got a call last night from the wife of a friend my age. This friend died 2 days ago. I would have liked some kind of triumphant proclamation in the text. I'm facing temptations of all kinds, day in and day out. I would have liked some assurance, some message of victory. And life is getting more and more hectic, and I'm not sure I can wait till evening to hear the word peace. All we have here is Jesus. He's just there. Well, he has some plans, rather mundane plans, to go to Galilee, places for us to be. Yeah, and there probably will be things to do and people to love and a message to proclaim, but even that much is reading into the text. People come to Easter hoping for, longing for some spectacular message. And all that I can tell you on the basis of the text is that this man who was dead is not where we expected him to be. He's not where the sanitary codes demand he be. He's hunting for a rendezvous with us. He is aiming to confront you and me wherever he wants, whenever he wants, on his terms, to do his doing. He does have a word for us. He says to us simply, do not be afraid. Frankly, fear is a pretty reasonable, normal human reaction to the world as we experience it. Earthquakes, Roman soldiers, stones too big to roll. Those are things that reasonably ought to make us afraid. Quizzes over Hebrew verbs and the small catechism. Illness of kids and spouses and parents. Doubts about our decisions of all kinds. Rumors about pastor-eating congregations and vicar-devouring pastors. Fear is a pretty smart reaction to a great deal of human life. It's not at all unreasonable to be afraid, and as we'll hear in a couple of Sundays in the gospel lesson, even the appearance of God, even God in his goodness, can be a little bit scary to downright terrifying. But Jesus comes and comes again to us today to say, cool it, relax, shalom, do not be afraid. He comes to drive out the fears that drive so much of our lives, sometimes with good reason. The judge whose presence is to be feared most of all comes and says, you don't have any reason to fear. And that was enough. There was work to do. The disciples had to get on with life. And he told them to meet him in Galilee. I don't know why. He should have walked with them, I would have thought. But he wanted to walk alone. He wasn't beamed up to Galilee, you know. But he wanted them to get used to the fact that he was there but wasn't there. He wanted them to know that they would have to live by the Spirit without his physical presence. Well, at least we always talk about without his physical presence. And you know what I mean by that, and it's true in a sense, but the water of our baptism was quite physical. The body and blood we are about to receive is quite physical. The word that underlies all reality that we hear is, in a different way, very material, very much a part of the created reality of our life. And that word says to us today, don't be afraid. And in that being forbidden to be afraid, you can't really command somebody not to be afraid. In Christ's forbidding us to be afraid, we have the promise of the reality of his presence in the midst of fears both reasonable and unreasonable. We have the delivery once again of his presence, which does you and me again this day to death the sinners. For sinners have something to fear from him. We no longer exist in his sight as sinners because he says, don't be afraid. We have the promise of his presence and the promise of his support and the promise of his sustaining hands also for this day. For we have been raised too. And we are just here on just one more Wednesday, the one after Easter this year. On a Wednesday in which he gives us challenges of all kinds to live out this life as his people and to carry his presence, the presence of his love and his life into the lives of others. Well, the celebration of the day, Easter Day, is over. The drama of the preacher's most exciting moments is behind us for another year. The banners are still hanging, but there won't be breakfast next Sunday. No sunrise service after church. The best moment for the pastor of the whole year is gone again, just like that. We're simply left here with his fear not, and with him. That's enough. This man, who happens to be God, and his fear not, is all we need. Also on this Wednesday of the week of the resurrection of our Lord, because that's the way it is, he's the way it is, today and forever.